Come with me to Book of Revelation, chapter 21, please. Revelation, chapter 21. This is a new year. A good time to reflect. We've been looking at Christ's return, and it's good to have encouraging words in a new year, I think. So I want to look at the biblical theme of newness. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. Let's start with verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. The context of this is evident, but we have need possibly to be reminded of them. The newness spoken of here is a new heaven and a new earth in which dwells righteousness, and it's a theme throughout the scriptures. The prophets speak of Jerusalem being made new such that no Gentile will ever walk there again. So it's a place where only the righteous are. And this is the situation here. And it has such power and such poignancy because, and it needs to be, the fact of the newness needs to be emphasized and is emphasized. It's not just a thing, it's a new thing because out of great sorrow, and it is the people there have turned their back on it, but it's there. After great difficulty comes this essentially totally recreated world in which there is this eternal fellowship with believers made whole, and God accessible, God among his people. So here is the result of what we've been looking at in Matthew 24 and 25. Here is the result of deliverance by Christ. We have the in this world you have tribulation, the Lord Jesus says. He says, but I have overcome the world. And then the result of that is all things made new. The theme is throughout the scriptures, and I would like to take a look at that a little bit and attempt to connect it, if we can, and I believe we can, to the Lord's Supper here. So let's remind ourselves, what is the theme? Out of great sorrow, a great difficulty, is deliverance. We need to emphasize deliverance and new creation, all things new. And you can imagine great rejoicing, great singing. So difficulty, deliverance, newness. This exact theme reverberates throughout the scriptures. Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. Verse 3. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen his salvation. There is a theme then of a new song associated with deliverance, and the explicit term is salvation. You see that in Psalm 96, which we didn't read, verses 1 and 2, Psalm 98, which we did. So there is this marvelous deliverance that we sing about, and it's explicitly the salvation of God, which I am a participant in some sense, and I am rejoicing with a new song. The theme that I'm referring to here in Psalm really is the end time, but it begins, if you will, at the Red Sea. Exodus 15. The Red Sea then is a picture of redemption. The Israelites are bowed down. They are delivered in the Red Sea, and then they sing. Exodus 15, verses 1 and 2. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. So the word salvation is explicitly there, and this transition, and that's what makes it new. It was not that, it is that, and I will sing. I was bowed down. I have been delivered, redeemed, saved, and I will sing. Now that sentence, the Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation, now is an explicit sentence of deliverance and singing that echoes through the Old Testament. In Psalm 118, which is explicitly a psalm of the Lord Jesus. Remember, at the end of that, it has, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The explicit statement about save Lord, that is repeated when the Lord Jesus enters into the gates of Jerusalem. Well, in that same psalm, twice, this same sentence appears. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. So the echoes now of a new song sung because of salvation, of deliverance, of redemption, that I was bowed down. And Psalm 118 is clearly bowed down into salvation. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus, is essentially speaking this. He is bowed down by the weight of the sin of his people, and he is crying out to the Father. And prospectively, in Psalm 118, in prayer, he sees the deliverance that he is to be given, but he is agonizing, so to speak, toward it there in Psalm 118. And then in Isaiah chapter 12, we have a repeat of the same deliverance with this new song being sung. And again, it looks toward heaven. this term, this sentence, God is my salvation, and has become my salvation, is in Isaiah 12:2, is preceded by, you were angry with me, your anger is turned away. There's clearly salvation there. And then it is followed by, essentially, you could say it's the gospel age, or you could say it is heaven following that. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord, call upon His name. So there is this theme then of newness, of a transition from being bowed down, of being chained, if you will, and of being delivered, and the deliverance being celebrated by means of song. And there is a celebration here today. There is a celebration of the death of Christ, which is a creation that has occurred. The Lord Jesus didn't just die, and we have this a continual looking back to the Via Dolorosa. We are not as Roman Protestants trace our way up some set of steps on our knees, and the best thing we can hope for is that we have blood on our knees. It's not merely how awful it was, the death of Christ, and if I can somehow get in a vibe with the awfulness of Christ's death, that's the best. No, there's something that He has created in His death that creates a new song. There is a communion of His death, and He has presented His blood into the presence of the Father. And so we, in that sense, we are singing that new song here. As the Apostle Paul says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth His death until He come. There is a continuity that we must have. There is a song that goes all the way to glory that is necessary for us. There is a reminder of the splashing of blood that continues for us, that we have tremendous need of, that my sins have been forgiven. There's an impetus for sanctification for us. But there is a look up to the Lord Jesus as well. He has gone before. It's not merely a look back. It is a look forward. And there is a new song that is created before or along with that. And so the second point then is, besides the fact of this new song that has definite parts and theme that is echoed in the Scripture, the second point would be that God is in the business of making things new. God is in the business of making things new. This creation was marred by sin. I'm not saying anything you don't know. But the fact of a newness of creation is something that we may or may not turn our minds and our hearts to. When God says from the throne in Revelation 21, "Behold, I make all things new." This is a faithful saying. Do we think about the fact that not only did God create from nothing in the beginning, but the world having been desperately marred, having been besmirched by sin. And it's not just a little mud, is it? And you and I know our own hearts, we know the people we work with, and we have graphic illustrations of it on the news from ISIS from day to day. The things that they are attempting to perpetuate. Sin is a horrible blot. And it's as if you were to take a pumice stone, that we know its porosity, and you take some black ink and you pour it into that pumice stone and you say, how can it ever be cleansed? It's down in the crevices. How can you ever get it out again? God is in the business, he tells us. Behold, I make all things new. This is a faithful saying. There is a new creation announced in the Old Testament and then again in the New, is a new covenant. Since the fall, it's called redemption, isn't it? It's not just making things a little better, is it? He says, behold, I make all things new. Blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, doesn't it? In the process of cleansing hearts, minds, consciences, a people for Christ's name, that culminates then in this newness spoken of in Revelation 21:5. Culminates in the eternal state in which Revelation 5 says, and they sang a new song. A new song. You are worthy to take the scrolls and open its seals, for you were slain. The center of all of that is the death of Christ. How is this horror called sin to be eradicated? Where is this newness that we have desperate need of? This sorrow and bowed downness to be made new, such that there can be a new song, is called salvation. You were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests, from slaves as they were in Egypt to kings and priests. That's newness. Make all things new. Revelation 14, we have another angle, as if there were multiple videographers there. We have another picture. And I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. That's the entirety of those saved, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder, and heard the sound of harpists playing their harps, and they sang, as it were, a new song. He has made all things new before the throne and before the living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. It's not just some hocus pocus. He doesn't just wave his hands. It has to do with redemption. It has to do with salvation. It has to do with the blood of Christ. He makes all things new. These are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Believers are the undefiled in heart. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Your life and my life has what appears to be twists and turns, not to him, but to us. The believer is the one who follows him wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men. We have been purchased out of slavery, out of bondage, out of great difficulty, into newness, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So we can reiterate, this is God's business to make things new. And we celebrate that here. And it is the case then for believers that we can make this statement, we have been made new. Behold, therefore, if any man, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God created out of nothing. He creates from a slave. He creates a new creature. It says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not just, you know, touched up. Not a little bit of makeup and, well, I was emaciated and I've been given a little bit of food. I look a little better. This is newness. This is God's doing. This is what He does. And the believer confesses here. The blood of Christ cleanses consciences, cleanses in every possible way. And we confess, receive, rejoice. We sing a new song here. So on the edge, so to speak, of the old year and the new year, it is appropriate for us. You know, I'm sure that we've had many non-victories. But at the same time, for the believer, it is appropriate to say, Christ has had victories in my life in this past year. Oh yeah, there have been lots of bad things. For the believer, Christ has had victories in my life in this past year. It's appropriate for us to sing a new song. It's the creative power of God. It is from the blood of Christ. The believer, in some sense, sings a new song. You know, in the book of Hebrews, I was thinking about that this morning. There is this theme, essentially, of being bowed down in the book of Hebrews. You know, there is a tremendous pressure. And then finally, he just says, come on now, looking to the Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You have enough time to look at the difficulties, but there is a newness. The Lord Jesus has made all things new, and He leads you to that place. There have been real victories. Christ Himself has won in this past year. George Matheson puts it like this. He says, O cross that liftest up my head, says, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust, life's glory dead. And from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. There are these difficulties. What comes from difficulty? the newness, a new song, a new thing that Christ is working. The writer of Hebrews says, you have lost all your goods, and you waved them goodbye. But some of these recent things you've had a real hard time with, he says. You've got to look to Christ. What have you lost this past year that Christ has enabled you to wave goodbye? What are the steps forward that are real steps forward? And yet you're still kind of hanging down. Oh, I'm not what I want to be. There is a new song for this new year as well. There will be Christ's victories. That's what he does. He's in the business of making things new. He takes these flesh and he is making glorious beings. We can't forget that. We look as in a mirror, and there is glory that results. And he will yet make new. He is promising that where we're headed is New Jerusalem. The writer of the Hebrews says, you have come to New Jerusalem. He's not saying you are coming to, you will come to, you have come to. There is that, you're on the border of, that which you are a part of now is a part of that. We are a part of New Jerusalem. The church enters whole, so to speak, into the glory of the new heavens and the new earth. We participate in the powers of the age to come now. And that is the only thing that makes it possible for us to be what we are. We can't just say, well, I'm waiting for that. No, we have the powers of the age to come now, and we participate in them. Therefore, there is a new song. And therefore, the engine of all of that, the redemption, the salvation, the making new, the sprinkling of blood is here. And we confess that. We sing a new song. He has become my salvation. It wasn't the case before. It used to be my salvation. There was a day in which it was not my salvation. Now, this salvation is my salvation. We confess that, receive it again, rejoice in it, enjoy it again.